Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my
home. We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, Mama, I can hear you a crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle. I'm going to play football.
He's coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
Divisional games. Cincinnati, beat them. Cleveland, beat them. Baltimore Ravens in M&T Bank Stadium. The Pittsburgh Steelers, sure as sugar, beat them. Three games you can officially call the Pittsburgh Steelers butter because, my friends, they are now officially on a roll. Good evening, everybody. My name is Brian Anthony Davis. Alongside me once again is my good friend Anthony Defeo, and this is Behind the Steel Curtain presents the Steelers Hangover. I am so excited, my friends, and the Steeler Nation is once again after the Pittsburgh Steelers won their fourth straight game by the score of 23-16 over a team that decimated and embarrassed them just 4 weeks ago. An arch rival, a bitter rival, and they put them back in their place and might even have their head coach looking for a job real soon. Wouldn't that be crazy? Folks, I'm so glad you can join us this evening. This is just a joyous occasion, a lot better than where we stood last week where it was a victory, but with a sorrowful tone. So this week we're feeling really good. The team is on the mend, the city is on the mend, and the Pittsburgh Steelers are the third seed in the AFC, and everything is looking up. Once again, alongside me is my good friend Tony Defeo, and Tony, you've got to be feeling like a trillion bucks.
I really am. Good to be with you as always, Brian. I'm actually pretty fired up after the intro. I want to do some burpees. I feel pretty good. But yeah, there's nothing better than going to you really
burpees?
Got me excited.
Nobody wants to do burpees.
Well, I know, but I figured running through a brick wall would be too cliche. So burpees would definitely be something I could do. But there's nothing more satisfying than when they win in M&T Bank Stadium. It's a great feeling. I mean, I guess New England would be better, but it's been so long. I don't remember what that feels like, but. Yeah, yesterday went about as well as I thought it would go. I kind of figured they would return the favor, and it was a very satisfying one, Brian.
Okay, so let's go ahead right away. Let's just put a letter grade on this for the offense, for the defense, for the special teams. You know what? Offense and defense, let's just throw it all together. Tony, I'm going to let you do the honors because I know I'm feeling it. That has got to be the letter
A. Absolutely, for both on both sides of the ball. Yeah.
What did Fonzie always say?
Hey. Yeah, it was,
and we are cool like Fonzie, my friend.
Well, that was
what movie is that from? Cool like Fonzie. What movie, Tony?
Drawing a blank.
Pulp Fiction. Samuel L. Jackson tells her, "Cool like Fonzie." They're robbing. Mm. In the diner scene at the end, one of my all-time favorites, I have to bring up Jules Davenport and Samuel L. Jackson every chance I get. So, look, feeling good. And we want you to feel good with us. And you know how to do it. Just call in 347-850-8581. This is your show, too. And this is your chance to celebrate along with us, look ahead to the future, and even speculate what still worries you. And something crazy happened today. A mystic tweet, which I happened to catch as soon as it came out. And I actually beat Jeff Hartman to the punch. I texted him today and I said, "Hey, have you seen the tweet by Lev Bell?" He's like, "Oh no, what did he do now?" And I'm like, "Well, he spelled it wrong, but he said farewell Miami, so it must mean something." So once again, it's going to be crazy in Pittsburgh, like this whole season has been. But it's up to one man, and that man is not James Conner. That man is Mike Tomlin, to be able to sort this whole thing out and keep it together with what is the best interest of this ball club, and I definitely think that he can. But you already said A for the grade, Tony, and let's break that down a little bit more. So we have to go ahead and give ourselves, crown ourselves a valedictorian, and I have a feeling that we're probably on the same page once again, and I'll let you go ahead with the honors because I know where you're going, and we don't even discuss this beforehand. But you're going to go to a little place called Erie, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, hometown of James Conner, the second-year running back out of Pitt. I mean, just four straight 100-yard games, another touchdown, 56 yards through the air. He's doing everything Le'Veon Bell ever did, and he's doing it in Lev Bell's absence, and it doesn't bode well for his future. I'm talking about Le'Veon Bell. So, yeah, it's got to be James Conner.
So five 100-yard games, close to 1,000 yards. In fact, I believe he is over 1,000 combined yards. The second leading rusher in the NFL. And if he has like 167 yards next week with Todd Gurley on the bye, he would actually go ahead of Todd Gurley for the rushing crown. That's how good this guy is looking. Le'Veon Bell had an excellent 2014, and this is what James Conner is rivaling. Okay, I can't even speak that way. That's tough. That's like Arnold Palmer for me. I can't say Arnold Palmer, and I guess I can't say rivaler. Okay, help me out, Tony. What's the word? Rivaling.
He's paralleling.
Rivaling.
Yes. Yes,
I think it's rivaling.
He's matching.
But you know what? No matter what it is, we feel good, and so you know it's plain and simple. James Conner has to be our valedictorian. He had a fantastic game. But if we throw honor rolls out there, there's a lot of guys I'm going to give honor roll to. It's very easy to go ahead on the offensive line and say the entire offensive line, and that's what we normally do. But last week, we said the offensive line, but we singled out Big Al Villanueva because of the way he shut down Myles Garrett. I think it is paramount this week to go on the other side to the right tackle and give the anchor, Matt Filer from Bloomsburg, a big honor roll mention because for the second week in a row, you didn't hear his name. You only heard his name when they were praising the guy. And you heard his name on the radio broadcast because they want to highlight how good he is. And I had a chance to listen to the first half, Dan Fouts, not a pleasure listening to Ian and Dan, but you know, it's necessary evil when you're watching it on CBS. But the second half, I had to listen to it, and I listened to it with good old Bill, Tunch, and Wolf, and it was just a pleasure. And they were really highlighting how good this guy is, and I'm really excited. And if you're going to give him credit, you have to go ahead and give credit to the man rumored to be the next coach of the Cleveland Browns. I don't think it's going to happen, but none other than Mike Munchak. That guy can do wonders with players. He is the offensive line whisperer, if I may.
I was just going to say that. Oh, that's a great thing. Yeah, Yeah, I was just going to say that. Took it right from you. Stole my thunder, as the callers say.
Well, you know what? Can I accuse you of stealing my thunder?
Sure.
Can I do that? Because, you know, we're buddies, and we, mm-hmm. we're the same age, and we love pop culture. And can I just say something? I thought your article was very clever this week. The Connor article, be sure to spell his name right.
Right.
And you, my friend, are not the first BTSC writer to mention the non-hit sitcom Grady.
I love TV, so yeah. Anytime I can mention the obscure spinoff, I do it.
I love it. I love it. I'm proud of you for doing it. I actually watched the Grady episode for an article last year on YouTube.
Really? That's awesome.
Grady, of course, was a Sanford and Son, spinoff, which there was a million spinoffs of those Norman Lear shows back in the 70s. Grady was one of them, played by the incomparable. I'll let you do that. Who played Grady?
Whitman Mayo. That's right. Whitman Mayo.
Whitman Mayo. That's awesome. And I know you didn't have enough time to look that up. So
no,
Whitman
no,
Mayo
I
played Grady.
Oh, yeah. That's
opposite
definitely my
the
wheelhouse.
Red
that stuff. Yes, absolutely.
So, yeah. And I do, too. And that's just the thing. That's how we became friends in the first place, because 2 years ago, Jeff had us write bios of ourselves to introduce. We were fairly new writers. And I, for some reason, mentioned that I preferred Bailey Quarters over Jennifer Marlowe on WKRP. And you sent me a message saying that saying it's refreshing to see another old guy that knows that stuff.
Oh, yeah. I could talk TV all day long.
Yeah, and I guess we shouldn't be doing that, but maybe one day they'll let us do a spinoff on movies and television and pop culture. That would be awesome. But one more mention of your Connor article. Brilliant. A very good article. But
thank you.
I had a hard time at first, and I'll tell you why. I want to buy my son a James Connor jersey. I can't because my son's name is Connor, but he spells it O-R. So
okay.
I buy him one, I have to custom make it so it's not spelled wrong in his eyes. So, I mean, you know, I grew up with the name Brian, Bryan, and, I still have people that read my stuff, see my name on it in the comments section. Even Jeff will go ahead and when he texts me with my name, Bryan, I still get that all the time. So I let people know I'm like Adams and Cranston, Bryan. But with that being said, you know, that's a long way to keep on talking about how great we think James Conner is and what the offense is doing. But if we go head back and we circle back after that big mess, if you're still with us, thank you. but we definitely had fun with that whole discussion. So here you go. We've got Matt Filer. We went ahead and put down. We went ahead and put down James Conner, of course, for the valedictorian. On offense, you know, I'm thinking you also have to give Joshua Dobbs an honorable mention. One play was probably the biggest play of the ball game at one point. 22-yard pass to Juju Smith-Schuster. Juju's another guy that I would give a honorable mention to, put him on the honor roll. I thought he had another good game. I think this offense has just found themselves, and they're there. But what can you say, Tony, about Joshua Dobbs? One pass.
Oh, I mean, I couldn't believe it when I saw him. I think it was a play-action pass, if I'm not mistaken. I saw him going back to pass. And you know, watching Ben lying on the ground, we didn't know that he had the wind knocked out of him. We thought that he had a shoulder injury because that's what the TV people were saying. But the coaches had to know that he was coming right back in the very next play. So it would have been a safe call for them just to have him hand the ball off. and to have him drop back on 2nd and 20 and complete that, or it's a very big, very big ballsy move by the coaching staff, and you got to give them credit for having confidence in Josh Dobbs. And quite frankly, they seem to have more confidence in Josh Dobbs than the Ravens have in Lamar Jackson, because every time he went, he lined up under center, they knew it was going to be a run, and I think all but one play it was a run. So that play by Josh Dobbs, like you said, it was maybe the most important play of the game, because it set up, what, two plays later, Ben went to Jesse James on the 50-yard bomb, and that set up the field goal that kind of put the game away. So, yeah, that was just an absolutely spectacular play, and I'm just very happy for Dobbs.
I am too, and it proves that you have a guy that you can trust in that position, because we saw Ben get hurt, and I know everybody brings up the Cincinnati game in the wild card with Landry Jones coming in and just completely wetting the bed. I mean, he couldn't have looked worse in that position when you had another backup quarterback in A.J. McCarron trying to almost leading the opposition to a win back in 2016. And so, you know, I'm thinking, you know, you never want to see – we really don't want to see Joshua Dobbs. The only time we want to see him is in Week 17. The Steelers have right. The division – the scenario that the division is wrapped up and he's getting a start. I mean, that's when you want to see him. Or if it's a 47-0 game and he's mopping up to get some time in garbage time. You know, that's really – really what we're looking at for Joshua Dobbs. But it's nice to have the faith that if you need him, that the kid has moxie and he can come out and just sling that pill. So I'm really excited for that position, because here's a guy that everybody had cut back in July. He was going to be cut in everybody's eye. And he went out and won that job, and he fairly won that job. I am – and in an editorial note, I'm thrilled to see Landry Jones go ahead and get the job in Jacksonville. I hope he gets some playing time down there. I think he deserves it. I think he's a great guy. I think he's a fantastic human being. I just don't think he was the fit in Pittsburgh for that backup position. I mean, if you blame anybody, don't blame Landry. Blame the front office for that pick. Just like, and I put this in Random Thoughts the other day, you know, you can't go ahead and blame Erica Alexander for her horrible portrayal, not horrible portrayal, but her portrayal of the horrible character Cousin Pam on The Cosby Show when they jumped the shark in late years. You kind of blame the roofie-toting comedian that hired her. I mean, that's really what you do in that position. So, I mean, this time you definitely don't hate the player, hate the game. So good luck to Landry Jones. Who knows? We might be seeing old numbers a couple weeks, but not on prime time, because that game has been flexed out, and rightfully so. So after all of that nonsense, have to talk TV all the time. Maybe Entertainment Weekly will give us a show if this doesn't work out, Tony. But the other thing, so let's run over to the defense real quick. You know, I'm still giving Bud Dupree a game ball. Not valedictorian, because we just do a team valedictorian. But if I'm going honor roll on that side of the ball, Stephon Tuitt once again, he's found himself. Bud Dupree, Alvin has found himself once again. I want to give Cody Sensabaugh a game ball. He has been officially named the starter on that side, and really, he had a really good game. I want to say that I did not think, and I'm not a homer, I'm pretty objective when I watch these games, Tony, but I really don't think that was a pass interference on Cody Sensabaugh. I don't think it was a pass interference on Terrell Edmonds. I thought they were ticky-tack calls, and the refs were doing everything they could to keep Baltimore in that game. I mean, that might be just crazy talk, but I thought those guys had good games as well. So as far as my game balls, I'm looking at not valedictorian, but honor roll status for those guys as well.
Oh, I agree. I mean, Bud Dupree, I mean, he's I think he's getting better and better every week. He's putting consistent pressure on the quarterback week in and week out. And you can say it's the the switch to the right side if you want, and that's fine. But whatever, if you want, whatever, it's working, and he's in the backfield. How many weeks in a row now has he drawn important holding penalties? As far as Cody Sensabaugh, I think that was – he had a great game, and I think his PI was the most egregious call. I don't think they – that should have been – they definitely should have kept their flag in the pocket on that one. The other two, I guess I could see because they didn't turn their heads. You know, you got to learn to turn your head and play the ball, but whatever. They were kind of iffy too, but definitely the one on Sensabaugh. And as far as other game balls, how about Mike Hilton? I mean, the guy's like – he's turning into the – one of the best slot corners in the NFL. I just can't believe what a wonderful find he was by the coaching staff. I mean, Golson doesn't work out, but you find his roommate or his teammate at Ole Miss, and he comes in, and it's just could Golson play any better than Mike Hilton's playing right now? I mean, it's incredible what he's doing. And that play he had on Jackson late in the first half when he kept him out of the end zone. That was tremendous. And the secondary is so much better when they utilize him as a dynamic player. So I think all the ones you mentioned to it, he had a great game. And I think we have to add Mike Hilton to that too. I think it was just an awesome performance overall by the defense. I just think they're getting better and better every week, and it's going to be a test this week, but I think they're going to surprise us again with another great performance.
That's why I emphatically agree with you with the A. I emphatically agree with you on Mike Hilton. In fact, I was going to bring him up, and I was going to bring up one more guy that doesn't get the credit he deserves, but I think he's turning a lot of heads and changing a lot of minds. And it's the guy that I own his jersey just because I have the same surname, but Sean Davis is playing very good football. I really like what he's doing back there. I'm out. Sing songs about him because I really think that he is helping that defense too. Hilton and Davis, those guys are the future of this team on that defense. And you've got a guy like Hilton, not only was he the less heralded guy, but he was 5'9". You know,
yeah.
Golson was considered small at 5'11", but this guy's 5'9", but he packs a punch. He's all over the place. He's omnipotent. And he just gets it done. So I love this guy. And I'm starting to really fall in love with this defense. I just hope they don't break my heart again. And this week, and we'll talk about this in just a little bit, this week will be a great test for this defense. So we will go ahead and we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But as always, we want to invite you to call into the show, 347-850-8581. And the show is brought to you once again by BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. It's everything Steelers. It's everything you want to know about the Steelers. About 10 articles debut each and every day. It's analysis. It's commentary. It's satire. It's a great read, and it's up to date. One of the first sites to have the Le'Veon Bell tweet was our site. And Jeff Hartman had that on within minutes of that tweet. In fact, he had it on like 7 minutes after the tweet was when it went through proofread. It was on right away. So we keep you up to date. And more people are finding out about Behind the Steel Curtain, and you should too. Whether it's the podcast or whether it's in print, you're going to know about your Pittsburgh Steelers. And another guy I want to talk about right now is one of our Hall of Fame callers, and he, of course, has been waiting patiently on our phone line. And so we are going to go to Jersey. I've never done that before. I mean, I'm sure Jersey people hate when they do that, but Vito loves us, so I could do that. Right, buddy?
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Very good, my friend. We know you're doing good.
What a great Sunday. I was on the Steelers website. You know, I always listen to what they have to say. And we got to give a lot of credit to this offensive line, guys. I mean, one sack yesterday and one sack last week against two great defenses? I mean, would you say that the Cleveland Browns defense is ranked just as highly as the Ravens defense because of the pass rush and the talent that's on there? I actually think,
yes,
when I was looking at the Ravens yesterday, I noticed Suggs lost a step. He doesn't look like he's as quick as he used to be or as what's the word I'm looking for, as disruptive as he once was, but he's still got to account for the guy. But I just think, you know, what the organization's done over the last few years in building this front line to protect Ben is just a tremendous job. I mean, think about it. Against these great defenses, he's having plenty of time in the pocket to throw the ball. They're opening up holes to make Connor run. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. And I think we were a play or two away from really isolating that game early. There was a play where Juju Smith-Schuster was running before he caught the ball, and the ball was right in his hands. I think if he catches that ball, most likely we put points on the board there as well. And that game, easily, we could easily put over 30 points on the board. So just a great victory to go in there and do what we did, and see a lot of the defensive guys doing a great job too, like you just mentioned, Hilton and Edmonds and Bud coming along week after week, you know, getting pressure on the quarterback. And I think the game on Thursday should be a tight game. What do you guys think?
Very tight game. You know, you have a three-headed monster in Cam Newton. He's a former MVP of this league. This is a team that's 1-3 straight. They are 6-2 as well. They have a superstar in Christian McCaffrey at running back, who is a dual threat. He catches the ball. He rushes. He's just so good. And then Greg Olsen's back. And you know how they struggle with big, good tight ends? I mean, I'm talking Travis Kelce. He's a guy like that. He's getting healthy. He's a dangerous player as well. It's funny because this is a team that plays every year in the last preseason game, but it's always the last Thursday night of the preseason in week four. But the problem is that it's mostly guys that are on the bubble that are playing in those games. But the coaching staff, they definitely know each other. So it's almost, in a way, I mean, this is going to sound crazy, it's almost like playing a division rival when you play Carolina, for how well they know each other, even though they are in separate conferences. I just feel that this is where last week was so important to avenge a loss, especially in the division. This week is an important game to beat an NFC team. I mean, a non-conference team, but a very good team with an all-around weapons. Very good defense as well. And someone that, if you could go ahead and beat a team like this, then you are definitely for real. So my question for both of you is this team a legitimate Super Bowl contender? And that's sort of the theme of this show tonight. Has this team turned the corner that they are legitimately a top two seed in the conference to go ahead and go to that Super Bowl? Fido, I'll let you go first.
I don't see why not. I mean, you know, we were missing pieces last year towards the end of the season when Ryan Shazier went down. They went out, they got Bostic, and they got Morgan Burnett. I know a lot of people didn't think those were good pieces, but Burnett's been hurt, so we really haven't seen what he could do. But I notice when he is in the game, though, it definitely changes the defense around because he is a veteran guy. But Bostic's been having a pretty great season, and he's definitely been helping a lot. So, I mean, the big thing you're going to have in the next few weeks is if Bell does come back, you're just going to have one more weapon on the field for everything else we have. Remember, last year, Vance McDonald wasn't healthy throughout the year, but you could see when he's in the game, he definitely presents challenges for these other defenses because of his size, because he can block, because they have to account for him. And if they're double-teaming Brown, a lot of times either Connor's going to be open or Juju Smith-Schuster's going to be open. The nice thing about having Connor being able to catch the ball is just another safety valve for Ben. So I think the other defenses have to respect what our offense could do as well, because we have plenty of talent there. And we have a great line that's able to block, which, you know, allows a lot of different things to transpire. And think about what we didn't do last year that we're doing this year. A lot of these fourth and ones, fourth and twos, you know, quarterback sneak short passes, and they're working, and they're working to our advantage. And then the other big stat is in the red zone, we've gone from a 50% to 75%. That's a huge, huge jump. So they're converting on touchdowns 75% of the time, where last year they were at 50. So Todd Haley's gone. Some people didn't like the decision that he left. But you know what? I think Ben's done a great job with the new guy that's in there helping out, and they're rocking and rolling. They're trying different things, and they're working very well. So I think there's no reason why we can't go toe-to-toe with most teams. The only team I think will be a big problem for us will be the Saints because of how well they play in their building. I don't think the Jaguars are as big of a problem as they were last year. I don't think they're as good as they were last year. I mean, the Patriots, we'll see. You know, we've always had problems with them, but I thought we played them very well last year. And who knows, maybe this year for the first time in a long time, we're able to beat them. So, you know, other than that, I don't know any other teams that we're facing that really possess a lot of problems. The Broncos aren't that good. The Jaguars, I don't think, as good as they were. And the Saints, I think, are really the only ones that are going to be problematic for us, and maybe the Patriots, but I don't see where we can't get through the other teams that we face. Raiders aren't good at all either, 1-7. So not a lot of great teams out there when you think about it. Not great meaning well-rounded in all areas.
Well,
yeah,
I agree with you. Go ahead, Tony.
No, I agree with Vito. I think if they're playing the way they are right now, if they continue – you know, they're going to have their bad moments too, but if they keep, you know, they found their rhythm on offense, they found their rhythm on defense, you know, they got up to a slow start, but that happens. You know, the way teams prepare for the regular season and the preseason, we've talked about this before, it's hard to really get a feel for what kind of team you have coming out of the gate. So they found their rhythm in October like they always seem to do, and now they're definitely the team to beat in the AFC North. I think they've established that over the last 4 weeks, but specifically the last 3 weeks with impressive victories over the division rivals. So they're definitely the team to beat in the AFC North, and now we're going to find out starting this Thursday just how good they are, because the Panthers are no slouches. They are a Super Bowl contender because they have an elite quarterback. They have an imaginative offense. They have a pretty good defense. So it's going to be a really interesting second half. But I think they're definitely going to be there at the end. If nothing else, they're going to be one of the teams that we're talking about as Super Bowl contenders when January rolls around.
Very good. And I agree with all of that. Vito, thank you so much. We will talk
gentlemen,
to you,
thank you. Have a great evening.
Next week. All right. Thank you. We'll talk to you next week. And speaking of next week, we are going to go ahead. We have a programming note for next week. Let's get that out of the way now. Since there is a Thursday night game and we do the hangover the day after, that would be Friday night. But Tony and I were in discussion, and we feel to just keep the show on Monday night at 9:30 so we can go ahead and not only talk about the Steelers and the Panthers, but we can talk about the entire NFL slate of games that happens on Sunday. So we will go ahead and meet once again at our regularly scheduled time, 9:30 on Monday evening. So please join us there and look for the notice on behindthesteelcurtain.com. Now, Tony, as you were saying, I agree with you that the Steelers are a team to beat. When is Vito kind of thinks the toughest game coming up is the New Orleans Saints, and that would be week 16, 2 days before Christmas, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, that is correct. It is on the Sunday, December 23rd. The week before that is the New England game. There is another tough team in there that cannot go unnoticed. The San Diego Chargers will be in there, if I'm not mistaken, December 2nd. So December 2nd at home, excuse me, if I call them San Diego, the Los Angeles Chargers, old habits do die hard. So the Los Angeles Chargers are a very tough team as well. When do you think the next Steeler loss legitimately would be? Because, I mean, I think we can both agree that they're not going to win out. The best teams are not going to win out. We saw that with the Los Angeles Rams yesterday, losing to a team like the New Orleans Saints, barely losing, but losing. So when do you really think in your brain of brains and your heart of heart that the next loss is coming?
Well, I mean, the way I've seen this team put on some really long winning streaks the last 2 years, I think 2 years ago and eight last year. I'm going to say they definitely have an end to go on another streak this year. And to me, until they beat them, I'm just going to go with the Patriots. That's the litmus test for me. Until that's a game that I could definitely see them losing. And not to say that the Panthers and the Chargers and teams like that, they can't lose to them either, because they very well could. I mean, they have really great quarterbacks and the defense is still relatively unproven. It hasn't turned a corner quite yet. So yeah, I could definitely see them losing to San Diego, but I'm going to say the New England game, almost a year to the day last year when they played them, I think that could be a game that decides a lot of things in the AFC like it did last year.
You know what? I think that their toughest task on this possible winning streak will be on Thursday. I think it will be against Carolina. Luckily that this game is at home, even though they lost some games at home, they've lost two games at home so far. I really think they have the tools to win this game, if, to quote the late great Denny Green, if they are who we say we are.
Yes.
And if they go ahead and are who we think they definitely are, that they should win this game. Because I think I think the city of Pittsburgh, I think Steeler Nation, I think even the media has faith in this team right now. And I think this team is united. I don't care whether number 26 is in a hoodie or in uniform. I think this is a united team, and I don't think he's going to come in and rip them apart. There's a lot of people think that he's going to come in and be a cancer, and I actually don't think that. I know I'm getting ahead of myself with Le'Veon Bell talk, but look, I think he wants to come in. He proved his point, or whatever, no matter how off base his point may be. He might even be coming in as the loser in this deal because of James Conner's play and performance. He might be coming in with his tail between his legs, but Vito made a great point. You bring a guy like that back, it's a weapon. And we kind of teased this at the beginning of the show, Tony, that it's Mike Tomlin who is going to be the ultimate MVP of this team with the way he handles this situation. And there is nothing in the way that he has talked about and not talked about, or ultimately yesterday talked about this. And when he made those comments that we do not need, we need volunteers, not hostages, which I thought was the quote of the decade. I absolutely love that quote from him, and it's perfect. And I thought it was time perfect from him. I know a lot of people, you know, poo-pooed the fact that he hasn't said a word throughout this whole thing, but he picked his spots, and that was the right time to send a message. And I tell you what, there's nothing that he has said or hasn't said that has made me not believe wholeheartedly that he has this situation under control. I think he has a plan, even though he says he doesn't. He knows exactly what he's doing. I ultimately believe that this is James Conner's team as we speak, and he is going to find a way to use the services of one Le'Veon Bell when the time is right, in the position that's right. And I think it's going to be a win-win going forward. So I'm not worried about that whatsoever, because I have full belief. You know, sometimes we complain about Mike Tomlin, and we complain about X's and O's, and we complain about throwing the red flag at the wrong time, and we complain about clock management. But when it comes to managing his personnel, he really knows these guys. And he manages them very well. We hear about a lack of discipline, but it does not kill this team. This guy has the finger on the pulse of what drives these guys, and they believe in him. And I fully believe in him to the point that he's going to take care of this situation. Am I on this, Tony?
You're absolutely on. You're absolutely, because And there's a reason why he's always voted one of the top guys that other players want to play for. And that's because he's a great leader of men. He knows how to handle people. He knows how to handle situations. I mean, and people don't give him enough credit for that. Like even the Santonio Holmes thing 10 years ago when he was arrested for or cited for marijuana possession, and he said, "All right, you're go home for the week. We're deactivating you for this game." He just knows how to do those kind of things, and he owes it to the rest of that locker room to do the right thing when it comes to James Conner, and he's their guy, meaning Ben Roethlisberger, meaning the offensive line. He's their running back now, and he's going to be the guy that has to start moving forward, whether Bell's there or not. And it doesn't mean that Bell, that Le'Veon Bell that sits on a sideline, sits in gray sweats the rest of the year. No, you have to utilize him at some point because he is a great weapon, like you said. But he can't just step right in and get 99% of the carries that he has in the past. It would not be fair, and it would send the wrong message to players. And Mike Tomlin is not in the business of sending the wrong message. He's made a career out of sending the right message. Whether people want to believe it or not, he is that kind of coach, and that's his biggest strength. And I think he's going to do the right thing. And I think when he comes in, meaning Le'Veon Bell, Mike Tomlin is eventually going to find a way to make this right for both of them, and specifically for his team, because that's the most important part. How this helps the team over the last 8 weeks of the season, Brian.
So I think it's a plus him coming in. I don't think he's going to disrupt any mojo. You know, I can honestly say I don't ever remember him being a problem in the locker room. The time when we talked about him being a bad teammate was basically in the last year with some of the tweets at the wrong time, showing up late before the Jacksonville game, and then ultimately the allegedly misleading his teammates on when he was coming back, and just completely mishandling this situation in my mind and a lot of people's minds. But in the past, I've never really heard of him being that bad. In fact, I mean, LeGarrette Blount liked him so much that they shared his namesake in Blunts together. On McKnight Road. So with that being said, yeah, I had to throw that in, but I'm not worried about that. But circling all the way back to the next loss, if they get through Carolina, which I think they have the tools to, but I'm still nervous about this game, I really think that they can go all the way to the New Orleans game before they lose, and that includes beating a team like the New England Patriots. I think this whole Le'Veon Bell, James Conner situation, soap opera, has done nothing but unite this team. And I don't think that you could drive a wedge between this team at this point. I talked very early in the season that, I love this team. I don't like this team right now. I not only love this team, I like this team right now. I like the way that they have, just bonded, and they're ready to keep rolling. So my answer to my own question is yes, I think this is a legitimate Super Bowl contender. You look at the schedule, Kansas City has some tough, tough games coming up. They have the Los Angeles Rams. They have the Los Angeles Chargers. There's always a divisional game. There's always a game that's going to give them fits. I think that glass slipper is going to crack. They're definitely a playoff team, but the Pittsburgh Steelers could catch them, and they're close enough to both teams that they could even get that number one seed. You never know the way this whole thing is going to shake out. I saw a New England team yesterday on the ropes as well against Green Bay before a Aaron Jones fumble just completely let that team in Green Bay completely fall apart. So I think this is going to be a great second half of the season for this team. I'm excited where it's going. The schedule is definitely not as daunting as it was back in April and even back in September, because you have teams like Jacksonville, Oakland, and Denver that are not as strong as they originally were thought to be. But the teams that are strong are going to be New Orleans, they're going to be your Carolina, and they're definitely going to be the Los Angeles Chargers. And that goes without saying, the New England Patriots as well. That's going to be a battle. But once again, if they are who we think they are, they can find a way to beat each and every one of those teams. I think the most daunting, though, would be Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints, because right now they are a half game out of being the number one seed in the NFC, believe it or not, based on that win over the Los Angeles Rams yesterday, which I watched that game on Red Zone. It was just – that was an insane ball game.
Awesome game.
So, Tony DeFeo, oh, you got to see that?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was watching it when I was bowling. It was a really exciting game. Absolutely.
So, does football get in the way of your bowling prowess? Because I understand you're a very – I mean, you rival Jerome Bettis as a bowler from my scouts out there, out in the lanes. I mean, because I have people, Tony. They say you're pretty good.
Well, your scouts are feeding you a lot of BS, because I'm the worst bowler on my team. I mean, granted, I'm on a really good team, but I'm like the if I was a pitcher, I'd be the fifth starter, maybe the occasional long reliever on this team. It's a very good bowling team. I'm just tagging along. But no, it doesn't get in the way. I'm Chad Cole. There you go. Very good. Very good. Very good reference. Very good reference. Yes, that's me. But no, it doesn't really get in the way. I love doing both. I love bowling and watching football at the same time. It can't get any better than that. So you can tell I'm not married, because I get to do all this fun stuff.
there was a time when young Brian Anthony Davis got to go do that, but I'm just as happy hanging out with the wife, the kids, four idiot dogs. But I sacrificed college football. I've sacrificed my Saturdays. They give me my Sundays, but they join in too. And I was watching Red Zone yesterday, and I was in a big battle in my FanDuel league, which I bested one Jeffrey Hartman yesterday, and I took second place in our league, and because he had been on a roll as of late. And you know what did him in ultimately is he goes with James Conner every week, and he just didn't think that James was going to, and I agreed with him, that James was going to penetrate the Baltimore defense the way he did. So so I have to throw that in there, because he always brags on me when he beats me, and he was on a roll as of late.
Well, awesome win.
With that being said, you know what? I was about to wrap things up, and I was wondering where Ken from Jersey was. So let's go to Ken before we wrap everything up. Ken, what's going on, man?
What's up, guys? What's up?
Yeah, just under the wire, man.
Just made the cut. I'm the 53rd man on the roster right now, man. I just made the cut. So.
you are our Cameron Kennedy.
Wow, yes.
Or Brian
Cameron
Allen.
Kennedy, exactly. Brian Allen, who else?
Let's call you Brian Allen.
I'll be Brian Allen right now.
What do you know, buddy?
Just got on, yeah, man, it was a great week, man. It's funny because, like, you kind of have a feeling of how things are going to go, and I didn't want to get too hopeful. I thought this game would pretty much go like this, There's always that, but what if a freak, interception or, something like that, or something freak happens and it just kind of goes sideways. But I really did feel in my gut like the game would go this way. So what that tells me is that we're starting to see some consistency from the team and, some things that you can count on. One of the things, I don't know what you guys spoke about earlier in the call, but one of the things I was looking for, I wanted to see if, you know, if I caught him on the TV, you know, the TV feed, was Antonio Brown. I mean, he had like 5 catches for 42 yards. He did have the 1 6-yard touchdown. But I wanted to see his body language. I wanted to see his engagement with teammates and things like that. And I couldn't really see it. But this is a formula that we have right now, and it's working, where everyone's selfless. And you know what? Say what you want to say. There is a subtraction of selfishness in the locker room with Le'Veon Bell being out there, and I think it's palpable amongst the team. A lot of times, you know, people don't talk about. Remember, he tweeted out something right before the Jacksonville game about they got to pay me or something. It's like, dude, like it's divisional week in the playoffs. What are you talking about your contract for? You can't even get paid right now, you know, let alone showing up late for the walkthrough. But he did like the week of or something. There's just, imagine how, if we're hearing that like on the outside, imagine how much they were hearing it in regular conversations. The guy sitting next to the locker room, he's talking to AB about the contract, but two lockers down, you know, DeCastro got a hearing and rolling his eye. You know, like these things add up over time with like just kind of like teammate equity and things like that. So they know who he really is, you know, and they probably see some of the tweets and like, yeah, whatever. I know who this guy really is. So they have an appreciation for James Conner. I'm saying that not to bash on Bell, but let's not like diminish that like dynamic, because they have something here, and it feels good, and it feels pure in that locker room. I'm not in the locker room, but that's what it seems like, just listening to a lot of the guys. So I think that's contributing to the cohesiveness and just, like, how quiet it's been with the team over the last month.
And you know what? That's something we did talk about. I took a little bit of a different angle, Ken. The angle I took was the fact that they are so tight and cohesive right now, and they are really – they're rooting for James Conner because they see the selfless end of him. But what I was mentioning was that you never really – we speculated, and I agree with you. He was probably talking about it in the locker room, and we saw those tweets. But there were never situations where it came out that he was a bad teammate, like we heard about what was going on with James Harrison – towards the end. In fact, heard a lot of things about him being a good teammate. Heard James Conner and Joe Hayden. And Joe Hayden, I'm going to take more stock in what he has to say at this point, because James is trying to say the right things. Joe, in just his second year, has become a team leader. And he's like, yeah, we love Le'Veon. It's the exact words that I listened to on the Fan today. It was a soundbite from him. We love Le'Veon. We will welcome back, but this is James's. Basically, this is James's team, and we ride with James. So, you know, I really feel that I don't think he could penetrate it. I don't know if you heard the part where we were talking about how Mike Tomlin is the glue. He's the key. He will be the MVP of this entire situation on how he handles this, and we have no doubt that he is going to handle this in the perfect way. Just the way he brought up where I'm calling one of the quotes of the decade, we need volunteers, not hostages. I love that more than anything. I thought that was fantastic. That basically tells me that, look, you can come back here, but don't come back here just because you have to come back here, because we don't want you if you're going to bring that attitude. That's what I read into that entire thing. I read into the fact that, look, this is James's team. You come back, you're going to get a chance to contribute, but know what you're coming into, because you created this situation by not reporting. You created this situation. So if you don't like the fact that we're just going to roll out the red carpet and say, oh, here's the keys to the car again, you're sadly mistaken, because it's not going to happen, because we're riding with the monster that you created. And that monster is James Conner. And you can see in the stats, and you can see how he completely outplayed him. So Mike Tomlin is your key. And we talked about it. Tony brought about how the players coach, just how he's a leader among men. And I have nothing to worry about. Vito brought this up, and I loved this assessment is the fact that, you know, it's an extra weapon. And if they do it right, they're going to have an extra weapon. If he does not comply and is going to be a problem, he's only hurting themselves because they're not going to put up with it. You can be the most expensive backup on the team, but if expensive backup on the league, it doesn't matter because you have a guy that we can roll with whether you're here or not. So you're kind of he kind of lost this face-off. This is a pissing contest that he lost, and I think he knows it. So, I really think they could find a way to make this work.
It's interesting because, you know, I was listening to, and I do think that he is a good teammate. I just, you know, think they just got tired of hearing about the contract, especially when nothing can be done in season. But I was listening to Maurice Jones-Drew on the Dan Patrick Show, and I don't know if you guys know, but he shares the same agent as Le'Veon Bell, DC Bakari, and he was talking about Bell. He speaks to Bell a lot. And he was saying, no, both teams are winning. This has nothing to do with about the team. He just wanted less wear and tear. So if he comes back, like, listen, I set up my 10 games. I'm here. I'm ready to go. I think this can be great down the stretch. We got some dogs that we play, the Saints. We got the Panthers this week. You know, so we got some hard games. The Patriots still. Jacksonville will still be tough. They're going to get up for us. So this can be great if he comes back with the right mentality. But I just like overall, like the way the team is clicking, the defense is playing better, and, you know, still not a finished product, but getting better. Mike Hilton, man, that little dude, man, there was always one guy on your football team that was smaller than everybody else, and he was just a dog. I remember a guy from my high school, like, he's that guy. Mike Hilton is a key to this defense, and I just wish health for everybody, because Tua's coming on nice, you know, like it's looking better. So we got some tests coming up, but I like what I'm seeing so far, and hopefully we continue.
And don't forget Bud. I'm really loving Bud right now.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He would have had a safety sack, possibly a fumble last week. And he would have definitely had a sack fumble with Flacco yesterday if he didn't get held. So he's getting there. 2 weeks in a row. Hallelujah.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, and like you mentioned, to it as well. And I thought Cody Sensabaugh, you got to say that he had a good game as well. And Terrell Edmonds is actually, each week he's finding himself a little bit more. But you throw Morgan Burnett in the situation. I know he's looked a little rusty. Don't sleep on this guy. This guy's an expert coach on that field. And with Joe Hayden and Morgan Burnett, they're more of a cohesive unit as well. So I'm liking this defense. In the last 4 weeks, they have given up about an average of 18 points in the last four games, the second quarter of the season. And if you can do that every week, there's no reason with that offense that you're not going to win every single one of them. So if they keep that average up, this is a top 10 defense, and that's what you hope for in this team. So, Ken, thanks so much. A programming note, we are going to be back here next Monday night at the same time, 9:30, even though the game is on Thursday evening, and we hope to see you then, man.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
See you, Ken.
All right, buddy. I love our Jersey boys, you know, Ken, Vito,
yeah.
those guys, I think they know more than me, definitely. I mean, I love listening to those guys and hearing what they have to say, and I take notes. And then throughout the week, I steal their material. I'm joking, but I'm not joking. But with that being said, Tony, let's put the last call in on this hangover edition of Steelers Ravens. You know that I am a Maryland resident. Jeff Hartman is a Maryland resident, and we're not telling you exactly where we are in Maryland, but this feels really, really, really good. And to go ahead and to to beat this team, especially at M&T Bank Stadium, because I'm not going to lie to you. I drive past that stadium and my wife yells at me because there's on my hand, I have five fingers and I only salute them with salute that stadium with one when I go past. Kids could be in the car. It doesn't matter. It's going up when I see those
That's
purple seats in that stadium. So, I mean, you know, it's just – and I don't want it to be that way. I have no problem with the Baltimore Orioles. But, you know, hey, the Ravens, that's just – the Ravens and Bengals, those are my chief rivals. And when I see a fan, I love talking to them. I'm courteous as always. But, you know, just boy, beating them is sweet. So, two times in the last three games, it's been special for me. You know, I want to just mention, you know, one thing that we were talking about with Ken, we were talking about, you were bringing up the fact that the 1-2 punch down the stretch with these two guys, Bell and Connor, if it does indeed happen. I was thinking about something. I was thinking about baseball, and I was thinking of when the Pirates came back in the 1990s, and they were in the playoffs in 1990 facing the Cincinnati Reds. I know you know that series well. They did not win that series. One of the key reasons they did not win that series is because the Cincinnati Reds had three closers, one in the seventh named Norm Charlton, one in the eighth named Rob Dibble, and one in the ninth named Randy Myers. And you couldn't touch those guys. Three closers, 7, 8, and 9. And I know there's teams like that now, but back then that was so rare. And the Steelers could do the same thing with two running backs. You take one out, you bring another one in, or maybe throw them out there at the same time. Man, you are going to be in peril if they can find a way to make this work. And I trust this coaching staff to make this certain situation work. So, you know, am I right on? Do you remember the Nasty Boys?
Oh, do I ever? I remember them not fondly, but I definitely remember them. Yes, it was a one of those
no one remembers them fondly.
No. It was one of those situations where you basically had to have the lead by the seventh inning, or you were toast. And I mean, I can definitely see a situation where Le'Veon Bell does help this team at near the end of the year. I mean, we can't sit here and say, you know, he just let him sit and rot and, you know, because he's such a talented, dynamic player that he can help this team. Maybe he's somewhere else next year and he's going to be somewhere else next year, but definitely capable of helping this team this year. And we shouldn't close our eyes to that and turn our backs to that. Le'Veon Bell could be a very important part of this team before all is said and done. So, it's James Conner's team right now, but by the end of the year, we might be at least, saying thank you to Le'Veon Bell for all the memories. You know, if he has one great final chapter in 2018.
When does he walk through the door, Tony?
Well, I mean, if he said farewell Miami today, it's got to be. It definitely makes sense. The timeline, because he has to report by the 13th. So I say next Monday, because that would give him enough time to theoretically be ready for the following week. So I'm thinking next Monday he's coming to town, which will be the 12th.
I'm thinking no later than this Wednesday. And the reason being is if he shows up Wednesday, he could go ahead and drain a game because he wouldn't be ready to play against Carolina. But if they're going to use an exemption against them, then they can go ahead and knock that 1 week exemption right there away.
Very good point.
If
Very
that's what
point.
He thinks they're going to do. And then possibly be ready for the Jacksonville game 10 days later. You know, I really think that's probably what he has planned, because that's almost like a mini bye week there. I would think that would be the smartest thing. And farewell Miami means he's at the airport first thing in the morning. He shows up sometime tomorrow, gets the physical, does all that, and then reports to work officially and signs a tender on Wednesday. You know, I mean, but with this guy, anything can happen. Yeah, I mean,
absolutely.
Enough said with that. But it's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun. And like we keep saying, if it's handled the right way, I'm no doubt that from the Rooneys, Colbert, and Tomlin, and Feitner, this is going to be handled well. So I'm not worried about this at all. I think I'm not asking him to be a savior. I'm asking James Conner to continue to do what he's doing, but I don't mind having that extra weapon in there, and but still let him walk the line, so to speak. So real quick, we have to wrap it up. We've gone over, but the Carolina Panthers roll into town. Are the Pittsburgh Steelers going to win this game? And if so, what score?
I think it's going to be a very high-scoring, close game, and I think they do win. I'm going to say 36-33.
Wow. You know, I had 37-33 Carolina, just because I have that weird feeling, but I like to pick those games and love being wrong. In fact, if you heard me on the – I took a lot of flack from Jeff on this, but I picked the Browns to beat the Kansas City Chiefs because I had nothing else to lose by doing it. So really, if I lose, I'm not contracted by Vegas to give numbers. If I lose, you know, then I'm happy because there's no money on it for me. So I mean, I guess credibility is on the line. But, you know, look, I just want to – just where I'm thinking that this is going to be a tough team to beat. I think the Steelers can beat them. I kind of expect them to, but I also expect, you know, something weird too. So I'm just going to, you know, go with that feeling and once again, hope I'm wrong. But once again, Tony, thank you for another fun-filled hour plus. And we will talk to you next week at this time. And hopefully talking about a first-place football team, because you never know what's going to happen with those other boys.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can't wait for this Thursday. Thursday night football isn't the greatest, but I'm very excited for this week's games. I think it's going to be a great game, and I think it's going to be a great test for the Steelers, and I can't wait to talk about it next Monday.
All right, buddy. For BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, for Tony DeFeo, my name is Brian Anthony Davis. Thank you for sharing with this fun-filled night of talking about the Steelers beating the arch-rival Baltimore Ravens and talking about the possibility of Le'Veon Bell walking through that door once again, or at least the rumor of it. But with that being said, we thank you for joining us. And remember, you, my friends, Steeler Nation, have just been hungover. Good night.